Shock the System. Welcome to Dank Discussions with me, Calican CEO Maynard Breslow. In each episode, you'll learn from the trailblazers, leaders, entrepreneurs, and influencers in the ever-moving, ever-growing cannabis industry. Hey there, everybody. Welcome to Dank Discussions. Today, we're joined by Brian Reynolds. Brian is the creator of Cannabis Kings and many other ventures as well. So thanks for joining us today, Brian.
Thanks for having me today, Maynard.
And let our listeners know where you're based out of today.
Chicago. You know, it's about 15 degrees out here. I know you guys are out there in beautiful California. Hope you guys are enjoying that weather a little bit more than we are out here.
Yeah, Chicago. You know, I love Chicago. I can hear it in the accent too. You know, I'm a pretty big on accents and stuff, so I can hear the accent. Love Chicago.
I get that everywhere I go. You know, I don't hear it myself, but I get that everywhere that I go.
Yeah, my fiance's family is from Chicago, so we've gotten like to visit there. We were just there last year, and it was freaking awesome. But so very good. But right now, you know, we're making this recording December 17th. This probably won't come out until after the new year, but so we get to hear a little bit of before and after, because right now you guys are getting ready to hit recreational on January 1st. So tell me a little bit about the scene. How does it feel? What are the expectations? And then revisit it afterwards in here.
It's a wild time. It's an exciting time right now. I think for a lot of people that have wanted to go ahead and break out into the industry or go ahead and get their foot into it, they're kind of in panic mode, some of them. You know, with Cannabis Kings, we started in, early 2018, so it's been almost 2 years that we've kind of been working on it, not even knowing exactly which direction that we're kind of going. And it's something, you know, with any type of adventure, you don't always have to have a specific, you know, game plan where it's mapped out perfect and concrete. As long as you have an idea, just building upon it, that's all that's necessary, you know what, and being able to go ahead and figure it out along the way. So, you know, as I mentioned to earlier, you know, there's a lot of festivals that are going to be coming along, you know, right after the first, because we'll be recreational. It's been medicinal out here for the past maybe 2 years or so now. But with January 1st coming along, there's been, you know, different organizers for events that are trying to go ahead and put different, you know, smokeouts or smoke fest for just kind of putting them together. And, you know, the scene, I would say it's along with any other industry. You know, you have your people that are in it for the right cause, and then there's, you know, those others that are out there just looking at it for the monetary value. What's the profit gains that they're able to go ahead and do? So it's, like I said, it's definitely an exciting time. We do try to align ourselves with other businesses, small businesses in Chicago, and then out west as well. You know, we don't limit ourselves to just being Chicago based, because even having merchandise, hats, clothing, different products, you know, there's no limit or reason to kind of go ahead and limit yourself to one area or demographic. So like I said, it's definitely an exciting time. A lot of good things that are going to be coming up. I think a lot of people are excited. At the same time, a lot of people that have been, you know, putting it off for 2 years, kind of getting their things, you know, snowballing, are kind of feeling those effects, and hopefully they're not kicking themselves in the butts, 5-10 years down the line, saying, you know, I wish I would have done this, I wish I would have done that. Sometimes you just need to, make that move.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of good stuff that you talk about, you know, just jumping in and learning kind of on the fly, which I think is always great. You know, obviously having a plan, having a sort of direction you're going in, but it doesn't always work out the way that we plan, and we got to be willing to move right away. And then another thing that you're speaking about was kind of the motivation that people have, obviously, because now it's going to be a new market. You know, it's a recreational, quote unquote, hitting January 1st. We all know that recreation's been around a long time, way before then. So
yes. Yes.
So now it's just a matter of, you know, business and the industry expanding. And you mentioned about, you know, motivation, with people's motivation that they have coming in. And there's real people and there's fakers out there. So tell me now that right now you are talking to a lot of people, there's a lot of people reaching out to you. Where's your radar at? And how do you really notice who the real ones are and who the fakers are?
I'm going to be honest with you, you know, because I'm still constantly developing my network out here as well, you know, and I'm coming across, you know, new businesses that might have been, you know, established for a couple of years, but it's my first time coming in contact with them. You know, for instance, we have a number of events coming up. After January 1st, we're doing puff and paints, like black light, LED puff and paint sessions. We're doing some bend and blaze yogas. We're going to be doing some cooking with cannabis. Well, for me, when I'm reaching out for, you know, if I'm looking for vendors at these events, typically I'm not looking for, you know, any type of monetary, you know, sponsorship. You know, if they have a product that they'd like to go ahead and donate, if we're doing raffles, that's the way that I would like to go ahead and do things. So when I reach out to different companies, I'm never looking, hey, you know what? I need $500 to come over here to this event so you could go ahead and showcase your products. No, I want to be able to go ahead and put you on. We do have to have a value as well, whether if it's a bubbler or a dab mat or rolling trays or whatever it might go ahead and be, something of a product value. Now, there's, you know, different organizers out there that, you know, as I was mentioned earlier, that they're looking to go ahead and put events together. And some of them, they kind of have, you know, I'm just going to be blunt about it. You know, they got to have some big balls to want to go ahead and put on an event on January 1st. Now, we know with New Year's, a lot of people that are out partying, you know, celebrating into the late hours. And then to go ahead and have, you know, a festival on the 1st at, you know, pretty early in the mornings from noon or 2 o'clock, you know, you don't know what the attendance is going to be. Now I've had
a hungover people who's dragging themselves out of bed.
You know what? Because it's something that's, you know, went ahead and crossed my mind as well. And it'll be something that, you know what, you know, it's there's that gray area. There's those, you know, variables that you're unsure about. You know, now there's different, you know, organizers that are trying to put fests together again on the 1st that people've never heard of, you know, or they're not established. They don't have a network. You know, those things, you know, they're red flags, you know, right away. You know, businesses that are, or people or groups or organizers that are looking to just go ahead and turn a profit, you know, so they can go ahead and get that new Benz, to get that new watch, whatever, you know, recoup their Christmas spendings or whatever it might go ahead and be. You know, in as much as I would like to go ahead and help those, I'm not completely resistant because, you know, I've always been, at that end as well. You know, I've always been, you know, in their position, you know, reaching out, trying to build my network. I'm not going to go ahead and toss them, you know, all my eggs. But if I could go ahead and send them a lead or two that might be a good vendor for those events, I'm going to go ahead and do so. But a lot of times, you know, that again, their head's not in the right place. They're just looking to go ahead and turn a dollar and not really have anything of value to go ahead and give back to those even attending. You know, and that's something, you know, that I had you know, I mentioned to you earlier a little bit about being able to go ahead and give back. And that's something that's always been near and dear to our hearts is, you know, on the events that we go ahead and do, whether it's merchandise, products, it's never been a profit margin of what we're able to go ahead and turn. It's how much that we would be able to go ahead, all those profits to be able to go ahead and give back. In one organization that we always give to, it's called the Take a Leaf of Faith Foundation. And with the Take a Leaf of Faith, they help veterans out here in Chicago, help them obtain their medicinal cannabis. They have their medicinal cards, they have their home dispensaries. And essentially, we make donations straight to the cultivators where we could go ahead and get vouchers. So essentially, they could go ahead and get their products or treatments at an extremely affordable cost because we've got to be honest out here, it's definitely expensive. You know, if you've, you know, made that switch to more natural treatments instead of, you know, pharmaceuticals. So if anything that we could go ahead and do to help out, that's always been our mission and one of our main goals.
And you mentioned a lot of, you know, how you're giving back. And I think that that's so important because, you can, you know, people want to take a lot in the industry. You have, you know, kind of give me a big, high level view of Cannabis Kings, how you're giving back. What's the big goal here in you know, in the long run? Because I know you have a lot of different, you know, with Crafts for Cannabis, 312 Cannabis Crew. You know, what's the big picture idea here with Cannabis Kings?
Well, so the big picture, you know, a lot of the avenues, it is, you know, Chicago-based, and it is kind of changing the stigma about cannabis as well as the culture at the same time. You know, A lot of people, they're afraid to, you know, take something head on because of the stigma. And it's different, you know, even though, you know, hey, we're living in America, you know, Chicago, the culture of cannabis is a lot different than what it is, you know, out west in California. It's more, you know, normalized out there. There's no type of backlash. And I still feel that even after January 1st, that there's people that are going to go ahead and discriminate people that are users of cannabis or patients of cannabis because they're misinformed. And the more, you know, information that we could go ahead and share with people, kind of changing that stigma and really educating people is what our main goal is. You know, no matter what, across any platform, whether if it's Cannabis Kings, Crash for Cannabis, 312 Cannabis Crew, it's changing that stigma. It's changing the perception. You know, I live in a suburb right outside of Chicago. And, you know, so they had a hearing at the Village Hall last week about, you know, if they would allow recreational, you know, cannabis shops out here. And the trustees and the board, there were six out of six, they're against it. So myself, and then, you know, it was actually a pretty small turnout. Online, there's people that were complaining about the taxes and what they're going to miss out on. And there was only about 10 people out of a town with, you know, 500,000 people that showed up, you know. So everyone had a voice online, but they didn't want to take the steps of, you know, throwing some clothes on, showing up to this meeting and going ahead and giving their opinion there where it really matters. And I feel that all the board members, the people in attendance, were completely misinformed about really what cannabis is. You know, it's still, you know, dubbed this, you know, the devil's lettuce. And it's not, you know, some punk on the corner that's just, you know, getting blown out of his mind. It's not heroin. It's not PCP. It's not crack. We got to be real with what it is here. And it's really changing that stigma in being able to go ahead and educate people as well.
Yeah, I mean, you said it. I think a lot of people, they want to get the benefits, but they don't necessarily want to put their name out there, and they don't necessarily want to vote in that way, or, you know, be known as supporting that. They just want to be able to tax or be able to get in the industry and kind of be a side gig. Or there's, you know, the green rush. Wow, the green rush. We got to get into it. This is where the money is. So it's definitely unfortunate to see that's going on over there. You know, it's kind of been a hallmark of the industry so far.
Yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right. It's, you know, and it's going to take a matter of time before things change, and it's not going to change on January 1st. People's perception about it, it's not going to go out the window just because recreational is legal. People do, in a sense, they discriminate, whether if you're a user or if you're a patient. And that's unfortunate, you know, because with any other community, you're going to have your rights if you're discriminated. And just because you go ahead and choose a more natural treatment to go ahead and treat your ailments, so whether if it's from depression or back pain, PTSD, whatever it might go ahead and be, Crohn's disease, you know, and people want to go ahead and label you as a stoner. And it is a kind of a derogatory, you know, outlook is, you know, what most people go ahead and, you know, if you say stoner, it's like, okay, you're a bum, you're a lowlife, you're no good or anything like that. And it's unfortunate, you know, and people still have that stigma. People go ahead and get, you know, treated or you're looked upon that way because they're educated about something. And it's the person that's going ahead and making those comments that are the ones that are uneducated about the realities of, you know, the health benefits and really what it is. You know, the whole war on drugs for the past, you know, 50, 60 years, everybody's coming, you know, to realize it was just a bunch of BS, you know. From the number of industries that had, you know, so much money to go ahead and lose from it. I mean, you look at pharmaceutical companies, you know, obviously they don't want recreational, they don't want medicinal. I think it's what, like $7 billion. I don't know if it's a year or whatever it might be that the pharmaceutical companies, you know, stand to lose. And then even for sleep aid, you know, companies, you know, the amount of, you know, profits that they potentially are losing as well. So it's, you know, it's been a lot of smoke and mirrors. Over the course of the years, and people's outlooks are starting to change. They're starting to wise up to it, and you know, just one day at a time.
Well, definitely, and you know, you mentioned the stigma. You know, it's funny you mentioned that. You know, I love the name Cannabis Kings. You know, but when I saw the name, I was mentioned to you earlier, it reminded me of the Cottonmouth Kings, you know, and the Cottonmouth Kings is kind of that like old school, you know, I remember going to their concerts, you know, in the late 90s, early 2000s. And, you know, that was definitely the scene, man. That was definitely the scene, but that was like the center of that kind of idea, that kind of stoner thing, you know, and I'd be interested to see, you know, what your thoughts are on that as well.
Yeah, as far as, you know, with Cottonmouth Kings, you know, it's funny that you mentioned it. The way that Cannabis Kings had originally developed, I had a friend of mine from elementary school reach out to me that I hadn't talked to in almost 20 years. And I had a couple other startup companies, and he'd always see me posting on social media. And he reached out to me and says that, you know, he's had a grow farm up in Michigan for years. He's now out in Oregon. He helps people with their farms, treating their crops. And he has, you know, a few patients that he was treating with cannabis. But he wasn't, you know, sure or, you know, kind of knowledgeable about how he could go ahead and, you know, not only brand himself, but go ahead and get his information across to people that kind of need that help. So, you know, after about 2 hours on the phone, I hung up, had a little smoke session, and ideas kind of started forming, even with the logo, the original logo. You know, and the logo's changed a couple of times since. We have some new logos in different cities and whatnot. But it wasn't until about a couple of weeks later, and it did kind of look similar to the Cottonmouth Kings, you know. And the funny thing is, prior to that, I haven't, you know, thought about Cottonmouth Kings in a little bit, but, you know, but that scene in that genre with reggae, you know, and it's a completely different scene in the crowd. But, you know, some of those artists, whether it's Tribal Seeds, Pepper, Stick Figure, Revolution, a lot of those guys, they're out west. And it has a lot to do, you know, their sound with the culture as well, the cannabis culture. And that's what I'm saying. You know, the scene is completely different in Chicago than what it is out west. And, you know, this past summer, you know, some of those bands that are coming through on Chicago over at the lakefront, and they have a good turnout, you know. But I've also been to their shows down in San Diego, and it's completely insane. It's completely different. It's a completely different scene. But being able to go ahead and start, you know, reaching out to even those artists is something that's always been, you know, a fun avenue to kind of explore as well. And that's exactly what I did. You know, this last festival that they had out here in Chicago, I reached out to Tribal Seeds, one of my, you know, most favorite bands. Their music has
I love them.
Yeah, you know.
Heard them 10 years ago at UC Irvine and changed my life, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, but that's what it is, you know. And I think that if people even heard like one song, one track, it'll kind of open up their ears to a different sound and different message as well. Music could definitely not only inspire, it motivates, it can change people's perception. You know, so even being able to go ahead, it's, you know, something about even bringing, you know, different artists and sounds, you know, with the events that we have, you know, set up out here. You know, we're doing the Black Light Puff and Paint sessions, the Bend and Blaze yogas, cooking with cannabis. We're going to be doing dispensary tours on some party buses. But so you better believe that the music that we're going to go ahead and be playing is going to be something that's, you know, near and dear to our hearts as well. You know, it's not, we're not going to be slinging some Megadeth on these. We want to kind of, you know, open up people's their ears as well as their minds at the same time.
And I mean, that brings up an amazing point, actually. You know, I haven't really given too much thought and haven't asked anybody about it. You know, it's so funny because I agree with, I always talk about how, you know, there's a stigma associated with, you know, in terms of mainstream, you know, the stoner culture, this and that, you know, talking about how people can get relief and they're kind of being turned away or feeling marginalized because, oh, well, you're going to be a stoner like them. At the same time, on the other end, I mean, that's kind of like where we grew up. That's kind of where I grew up, you know? And, you know, so it's, you know, with the Tribal Seeds, you know, and that's kind of was the culture that, you know, that's been the culture. I mean, how is it like now we're mature, we're older, so we're getting away and now, you know, bring it to the mainstream is our goal? Or is it kind of like, there's a part of it that we should just embrace and just say, you know what, man, like this, we're the ones building it. We've been building it and this is kind of our community and take it or leave it kind of thing. Where's the middle ground there?
You're exactly right with that. So, you know, one of these past concerts, you know, over the summer, I had a friend with me, loves their music as well. But he would look around and see, you know, whether if it's tie-dye shirts or, you know, the dreads or anything. And he would still have that perception in his head about, you know, with cannabis use, you know, is a stoner, right? Stoner. We're all stoners. But I said, you know what? I go, these are people that are, you know, that are coming up with the ideas, people that are going ahead and actually, you know, being proactive about, you know, being open and changing that stigma. So we need more people like this that are open, that aren't worried about, you know, people judging them or being labeled, you know. It was an awesome experience that I had, you know, this past concert. I had reached out to Tribal Cities to let them know what I was doing. They reached back out to me on the day of the show, invited me on the side stage. We're out on their tour bus, chiefing down with them. They are the coolest group of people, just most laid back, chilled out, just cool vibes, awesome with anyone. Hospitality through the roof. And it's that's what we need, you know, in every city and state. You know, we need more people that have, you know, good-hearted, that aren't judgmental, that are, you know, open up to ideas and different perspectives and, you know, lifestyles or whatever it might go ahead and be. You know, there's so much that you can learn with cannabis, and it's not just about the plant. It's about knowing how to treat other people, being motivated to go ahead and open other people's eyes and hearts as well at the same time, you know. It's, you know, the reggae community, a lot of people, you know, if they think it's not for them or whatever, there's a lot that they could go ahead and learn from them, you know. And it's nothing but good people, positive vibes. As you know, with their music, that's one thing that they preach, positive vibes. And always just trying to have that outlook throughout life, you know. When we were, you know, talking earlier, we had mentioned about my little, you know, escapades this past weekend, you know, and I had a little got rear-ended, a little fender bender. Yeah. I says, you know, it's a rough start for the week, but you know what? Tomorrow's another day. It's no big deal. You let it roll off your shoulders and you keep moving, you know. And some people, they'd sit there and be like, oh, my car's wrecked, or oh, this is horrible, this sucks, and this week sucks, and this year sucks. And it's just like, you know what? You can't have that outlook. You just kind of got to take things with a grain of salt and keep it moving.
Things are always changing. And we always get obstacles thrown at us, you know, there's always something new to overcome. And I guess, you know, with Cannabis Kings, I should say Cannabis Kings. And, you know, what's been the biggest obstacle so far that you face with different ventures within it, and how you've been able to overcome it?
I think everything, you know, to be honest with you, I feel like every day there's a new obstacle. Like I said, initially there wasn't ever a clear cut direction of exactly what the end goal was, but knowing, you know, what we're working towards and, you know, building a brand, but two, building awareness, being able to go ahead and give back. Some of the biggest, you know, obstacles that I've faced, you know, unfortunately with the cannabis industry on social media, you know, they prohibit, you know, a lot of marketing, a lot of advertisements. If you know, you're paying for ads, they've actually deactivated my ads accounts where I wasn't able to go ahead and share anything, you know, I was able to share, but you couldn't go ahead and boost or pay for posts, you know. Oh, yeah, and that's how they're making their money. You know, they have all these, you know, small businesses in any type of industry. If you want your ads to go ahead and get across to a network or an audience, I mean, you're paying that, you know, out of pocket. So when they went ahead and deactivated my accounts, they blocked me from running ads across the board. So, you know, as I was mentioned earlier, I have a couple other small startups as well. And, you know, I rely on those ads. You know, we provide services in from Canada all the way down to Texas, California, Miami, in an entertainment company. And they basically put my operations at a complete standstill for about 10 weeks. I took a huge hit because the way that I'm able to go ahead and, you know, keep operations going and funding them are from other avenues, you know? So it's always being able to go ahead and create opportunities, thinking outside the box a little bit, but I always go ahead and invest back into myself. I'm going to be, you know, straight up with you. I wear the same shoes that, you know, my Chuck Taylors are, you know, 10, 12, probably 15 years old. My shoes, my, you know, I'll wear the same stuff. I'd rather dump the money back into the business and help the brand grow than to, you know, buy something flashy or something that I really don't even need. I'm going to buy more merchandise for branding to go ahead and, you know, I'll give away, you know, it's an avenue for marketing, but being able to go ahead and invest back into yourself. But yeah, as far as, you know, the biggest obstacles, it's, you know, I would say that has been it so far. And not to say that there hasn't been a billion other speed bumps in the way at the same time, you know, even as far as developing the website, you know, it was something that I hadn't done, you know, prior. But, you know, the more that you can learn about anything, the more better off that you are going to be in the same adventures down the road. You know, so as long as you continuously learn, you know, learn something from it, teach yourself something, you always got to look at the positives, you know. So there's a lot that goes into building a brand or building a business, but that could go ahead and, you know, inspire to, you know, other, you know, adventures down the road as well, you know. So always being able to take from something or a situation is probably the best outlook than to say, hey, I don't know how to do this, you know, this sucks, you know. Or I got to pay someone to go ahead and do this. Well, we'll try figuring it out yourself a little bit, you know. Give yourself a little bit of credit. Tell yourself, be confident in yourself and what you're doing, you know, and just, you know, have that trust in yourself. So everything's a learning experience. Yeah, you're going to go ahead and hit speed bumps. There's going to be those roadblocks. But it's up to you to be using your mind, thinking outside the box, and finding a solution for them as well.
I mean, you kind of hit it on the head there because, I mean, when I'm not – hosting a podcast, which I mean, this is my baby. I love it so much. You know, I run a digital marketing company for a cannabis company. So this is, I can tell you, every single one of my clients, that's like the main thing. They're like, how the hell do we market ourselves? You know, this is my Instagram account keeps getting shut down. I get a bunch of followers on my page, or I open up a group and then they shut it down. And, you know, obviously ads are a no-go from the start. So it's just like, this is the main thing. So, and, you know, also banking. And, you know, all these things that we're looking definitely for reform, you know, we're looking for reform with this and, you know, looking to get descheduled. And I think that'll help a lot, but, you know, it's just a matter of the gatekeepers, you know, opening it up and changing their terms and conditions and allowing us to navigate through this a little bit better, I guess.
You're absolutely right. You know, I think we all kind of know, you know, anybody that's in the cannabis industry is, you know, why those regulations are there with social media and Facebook, you know, like I said, with those, you know, industries that potentially have, you know, that chance to be losing a lot of money due to, you know, cannabis or CBD sales. They're the ones that's kind of pushing back from, you know, allowing or lifting those restrictions. You know, and I guess it kind of goes back to, you know, your earlier question about, you know, what's been like some of you know, the biggest obstacles. And a lot of people don't realize, you know, about these restrictions that, you know, these business owners have. So whether it's their friends or family members, you know, they could go ahead and do something as simple as, you know, sharing their post, liking something. You know what? There's gratification in that, even a simple like from a friend or a family member, because those people, they're not realizing, you know, what type of struggles that they're facing. It's not like you have a car wash company and you're promoting it. You get free range and you don't have to worry about anything like that. You have to strategically plan your ads, how you're going to go ahead and run them or post them or try to get people to share them or in hoping that you're not going to be shut down, you know? So those things, they go a long way, you know, and a lot of people, you know, with the startup company, especially in the cannabis industry, their friends and family, they're not willing to go ahead and share their posts because they don't want to be looked at in that bad light that so many people are worried about. So the more that we are able to go ahead and lift that stigma, hopefully, you know, friends or their network, can go ahead and engage a little bit more, help them out. Like I said, something as small as sharing the post, it could go a long way. You know, it's like I said, it's a different industry than most others just because of the restrictions that are on it. But being able to go ahead and find, you know, solutions, trying to be optimistic. You know, one way that we try to market as well, you know, with these upcoming events that we have come along, doing, you know, affiliated partnerships, you know, bringing on other small businesses, have them being vendors, you know, at your events as well. And I'm not too sure, you know, if I had, you know, touched base on it, you know, as far as the events that we'll have going on, we're not looking for sponsorships in a monetary sense for, you know, some of these events. People want, you know, $500, $1,000, $1,500 for a booth space. You know, the only thing that we want, you know, they're smaller, more intimate events. You know, if you have a product that you can go ahead and donate, whether if it's a rolling tray, a dab mat, a rig, whatever it might go ahead and be, that will go ahead and create value. We're more than happy to go ahead and promote you on whether if it's digital flyers, on the boards at the events, to kind of put you guys on as well. And the more that you can kind of collaborate with other businesses and work hand in hand, that goes a long way as well, you know. You know, there's a company out here called Cashmere that make like exotic rolling papers. They have CBD, and then they're going to be coming out with the THC-infused rolling paper. Well, that's, you know, for a lot of our merchandise, we'll do, you know, quick photo shoots and whatnot. I says, you know what, let's do a collaboration. We'll go ahead and bring some of your products. They wear Cannabis King's gear. We'll just, you know, basically kill two birds with one stone. You know, you guys have a following, you have a network, we have a following, we have a network. So if we could go ahead and help market, you know, your products, we're more than happy to go ahead and do so. There's really not a conflict of interest in there. You know, if we were both, you know, selling products, if we were both selling, you know, flour or, well, you know, whatever it might go ahead and be, but we're not in, you know, rolling paper, you know, in the rolling paper game. So there's no reason to not want to go ahead and collaborate with those other businesses, especially if you go ahead and help one another out at the same time.
And there's so much there, obviously. You know, you mentioned something that it's such a shame. You know, we live in a culture now where we're all so connected and we all share such, you know, the interests that we share and we have in common. And I think people are so protective of their online persona. You know, you mentioned like certain things like being scared to even share, right? Like on LinkedIn, yes. Right? If you could be a complete staunch supporter of the movement, not in the industry, but you're a CPA, and then you see, you know, a post that maybe somebody that you're connected with shares, and you know, and you don't want to share it yourself because you don't want your colleagues to see it. You don't want people, other people to see it, and then you're associated with the stigma. Or on Facebook, same thing. You know, then you get called out by your family and all that. And it's just, it's such a shame that it's even a thought. You know, people can share the most ridiculous views out there.
And oh yeah,
no problem sharing that. But now it comes to cannabis, and now all of a sudden, you know, and you know, I love it. You know, and I think by embracing it, it's such an amazing thing. You know, because I mean, anybody who knows me personally has known that this is part of my life for as long as I've, you know, since 14, 15 years old. It's no secret. But yeah. I mean, it's all out there, you know, it's all out there.
It is.
Where you go, you're going to see it. You Google Maynard and you're going to see this stuff. So I guess that's like the leap, you know, talk about the leaf of faith. That's part of that leaf of faith there too, you know?
It really is, you know, and you know, like you had mentioned, you know, since the time that you were 14, I was probably right around the same age. And I remember my first time ever smoking, and I hope that she does hear this and remembers. It was my sister, you know, she came and she pulled me off to the side and she's like, here, she pulled out, she had a little like foil pipe and like a Newport box, right?
Now we know a lot more about, you know, shit, that, you know, don't speak out of that, but we didn't know any better.
Like, I was like, shit. But, you know, if it wasn't for that, you know, who knows where I'd be. You know, so I give it all to my sister, you know, I give all her the credit. But yeah, you know, it is unfortunate, and it's, you know, it's just only a matter of time, and it's not going to be something that's going to go ahead and happen next week or the week after that, probably even next year, the year after that. You know, that stigma is going to go ahead and linger around, you know, for years and years. But the more that we're proactive and wanting to go ahead and normalize it, you just know that you're taking a step in the right direction. A lot of people can sit there and say, okay, well, it's an uphill battle, or, you know, it's going to take this, or you have to put in this effort. You know what? Everything's one day at a time, you know? So as long as you're consistent and persistent about your missions, you're going to be heading in the right direction. So no reason to really be concerned about what other people's, you know, outlook on you are. You know, if I was worried about what people thought about me, have the things that I do, have the business adventures, I wouldn't start it. I'd be, you know, selling cars right now. Yeah. In my life, no offense to anybody in car sales or anything like that, but I've done that. You know, it's I don't want to sit in an office for 70 hours a week, you know, chasing down sales, and it's not enjoyable. You know, I enjoy everything that I do thoroughly, even the headaches that come along with it, the obstacles, you know, trying to figure things out, whatever it might go ahead and be, the workload. I wouldn't change it for the world. whatsoever. Never in a million years.
Oh, no doubt. And the not caring what people think, I think that's what separates entrepreneurs, people who are willing to go out there and put their ass on the line, and those who are successful doing it as well. Because a lot of people want to try, and they do try it, and that's great. I encourage, you know, everybody to follow their dreams and to go out there, because, you know, you don't get your ass kicked, you're not going to win in general.
You're absolutely right.
But, you know, it's, you know, being able to get yourself out there and not care what people think and not care about getting your ass kicked, and being able, you say you put everything that you have, you're putting it into this, and that's the way it goes a lot of the time. So, you know, talking about that, you know, being an entrepreneur and having this venture, I always ask, you know, everybody that I talk to, and not only on the podcast but off the podcast, you know, what's your definition of success, and what does success look like to you?
It's a great question. You know, for myself, you know, the definition of success is quality of life. Uh-huh. And, you know, I'm fortunate enough to kind of, you know, dematerialize, you know, what's important. You know, like I says, you know, my goal has never been for, you know, a Bugatti. It's to be able to go ahead and live a comfortable life where, you know what, I can kind of go ahead and create my own schedule, but I find a lot of gratification in being able to go ahead and help other people. So everything that I'm doing, the more that I can go ahead and help people, that's gratifying right there, you know. So that's success, you know. Being in a position where if you're able to go ahead and help another, in whether if it's even their financial situations, you know, so the more that I'm able to go ahead and build a brand, I'm going to go ahead and be able to bring, you know, more, whether if it's employees or, you know, just kind of building, you know, in that sense, where it'll go ahead and be able to help, you know, other people's pockets or their situation. And then also, you know, being able to go ahead and share knowledge, you know, even doing this podcast, you know, the more people that can have, you know, a better understanding, one, even thinking outside the box, two, what it does take, and not having to worry about, you know, failing or something doesn't work out the first time. Nothing for any entrepreneur has worked out the first time that they just ran out and did something. It's not like, I'm going to do this, and this is how it's going to be, and I'm going to be successful, and I'm going to retire, and I'm going to be living on a, you know, yacht and, you know, Bora Bora. It's not the reality. You know, having the understanding that you are going to go ahead and fail, but learn from your failures and keep going, you know? So this wasn't my first adventure, and, you know, I've failed a billion and one times. It probably sound like, you know, Gary V. I'm not too sure if you listen to him or...
Love Gary V. I mean, you know, I'd have to put him aside a little bit because he said, I want you to stop listening to me and I want you to go work. So I was really into him about 2-3 years ago, and since then it kind of gone. But I mean, I love Gary V. I've learned so much from him, obviously. So
yeah, definitely. You know, there's quite a few, you know, motivational speakers in entrepreneur leaders that I do follow and listen to that put out a lot of great content. And there's a lot of things that you can learn with one even going ahead and, you know, not even building your spirit up, but when you feel broken or when you feel defeated, what are you going to do in those times? And it's keep going. And the people that don't keep going are the ones that are going to go back to the 9-to-5. But the ones that do, that 1%, you know, like they'll say, you know, those are the ones that will be successful. And like I said, I've never once sat here and thought about, you know, what profit margin would make me feel like, okay, I feel good here. I'm going to be, you know, very blunt with you. I don't look at profits. As long as I'm happy what I'm doing, that's all that I care about. The more that I could go ahead and make, the more that I could go ahead and donate back, that's all that I care about, you know? As long as, you know what, I've got some clothes on my back, shoes on my feet, some food in my stomach, I'm good, you know? But as I was mentioning to you earlier, you know, out here in Chicago, you know, these winters, they're getting rough. They're getting, you know, worse and worse, it feels like. Last winter was -54 degrees for a couple of days. I'm hoping to, you know, move out west, next year, hopefully by November next year of 2020. And for me, that would be success. Living in an area and a climate that you know, I'm happy with, where, you know what, you get some nice weather. I'm pretty simple, and that's pretty much all that it will take. Being able to go ahead and continue to run business in a different environment, you know, that's you know, probably my biggest goals for next year even.
Well, I appreciate you sharing all that, because I agree. The goal isn't to have a new Bugatti, even though, you know, we were woke up in a new Bugatti. You know, I mean, it's in my head, you know, but what's that?
Some people's outlook, that's what it is, you know, and it's like the more money they make, the more that they're spending. You know, you get a bigger house, you get a bigger car, your bills are bigger, and you're continuing spending, you're continuing chasing, you know, and being able to have the mindset where if you just live a little bit simpler, you can live a lot more comfortable as well.
It's really so sad, and that's what's eating up our culture and bringing awareness what you're doing. We need more people like you doing what you're doing, and you know, one by one, because it eats up the people's happiness, it eats up in people's hearts, it eats up in our relationships. You know, net worth is self worth, and when, like you said, you know, you people envy the guy down the street maybe who has the big house, and you don't know what's going on inside of the house. You don't know what their relationships are like with their family, with their wife, with their kids. And not to say having money means that you're going to have bad relationships, not at all. But there are so many people who are just doing it for the sake of keeping up, for the sake of, you know, living paycheck to paycheck. And they have, on the outside, it looks like they have everything.
Oh, yeah. You know, there's sometimes, I don't want to say it's a facade or anything like that, you know, but yeah, you're keeping up because of, you want people to look at you in the light that you're successful. So you're keeping up to, you know, help push somebody else's, you know, perception of whatever that is of you. And that's rough, you know, that's going to be taxing on you. Like it says, you know, you never know what's going on behind, you know, closed doors, and that's any household, whether if you're living in a studio apartment a $5 million house, you know, you never know what type of struggles that's going on in there. You know, and it's just, it's being able to go ahead and training your mind, having a different perception, having a different outlook when, you know, you're facing adversity. You know, that's key, you know, and that's success in itself right there. If you're able to go ahead and master your own mind, you're better off than the next guy in line right behind you.
I mean, I'm born and raised LA, and everybody has this perception that LA, that's how it is. You know, it's all about the perception and how you look and all this and that. And I mean, we have conversations like, you know, me and my buddies that were born and raised there, and it's kind of the people, it's also the biggest influx of people come to LA, right? There's a lot of transplants in LA. And hate to say it, but the transplants are bringing that culture a lot more than the LA having it there. As you're talking about, you're traveling out west, you know, I just want to encourage you, obviously, you know, to maintain the same mentality you're having here, you know, because it's just, it gets pretty rough pretty quick. And I think you have the right idea, the right mentality, and I think you're gonna be very successful there as well, just been in Chicago.
No, I definitely appreciate those words. You know, it's something that it's not something that's been, you know, developed in the past, you know, couple of years. You know, from when I was younger, I was always, you know, go ahead and try to help people out. Even now, you know, if I'm in a position where if I'm down, if I'm able to still help someone out with, you know, what if they need, you know, relationship advice or just, you know, spirituality, see their, you know, work's kicking their butt, they're down in the dumps. You know, I've got my rough days as well, you know, and even on my roughest days, I'm always going to give 110% to somebody else that could go ahead and use it. You know, a lot of times, you know, a lot of people, they're not looking out to go ahead and help others. But that's, you know, just being real, you know. If the things that I was doing right now, if it wasn't coming from a real place, I wouldn't, you know, have a future. I wouldn't, you know, probably be able to go as far as what I hope to be able to go ahead and go and do with things. But it's, you know, everything comes from a genuine place. And, you know, like I said, I do appreciate those words. And yeah, it's, you know, any environment that, you know, you can go ahead and move into, you know, there's always going to be that different temptations, you know, based around, you know, what's around you or your environment. You know, it's like if I was living in Canada, I had a Canadian accent, moved down to Tennessee 20 years later, but I guarantee I'm going to have a Southern accent, you know? So you can conform to your situations, but, being able to go ahead and overcome it and knowing better, and just being true to yourself, that's probably, you know, the key to being able to go ahead and accomplish that.
That's it. And, you know, you earlier asked about how do you tell that all now with the influx of new business coming in, you know, the real ones from the fake ones. And I have the benefit, the blessings to be able to do this podcast and be able to meet awesome people. And I get to, you know, full transparency, my BS meter goes off a lot, and I can pretty much tell right away who's the real ones and the fake ones. And I like to keep the content of this with the real ones, you know? So, you're one of the real ones, baby. So, really appreciate you definitely coming in and talking to us.
Yeah. Like I said, man, I appreciate the, you know, the kind words as the compliments, you know? You know, I'm the same way, you know, when you're talking with individuals, you know, when they're full of shit.
You
you're not going to call them out, but you know, red flag, you know, if BS is what they're about, they can go ahead and practice their game all that they want. But you know, in some people, they can't read through that, you know, and those are people that get blinded, people get taken advantage of. And it's unfortunate, you know, people that are out there with not, you know, good intentions, and it's unfortunate that they get over on a lot of people, and that's with any industry, you know. It's unfortunate, and it is what it is. I hate to say that, but hopefully, you know, those people at some point, you know, they kind of wise up. They want to go ahead and do the right things, that they're genuine about, you know, what they're doing, and just, you know, and if not, you know, those are the people that don't last as well. You know, like you said, you know, you can go ahead and sniff that out. You know, there's going to be people that, you know, once they get, you know, tarnished, or it's like, I don't want to go ahead and work with this person. When they have enough people that don't want to go ahead and work with you or be involved with you because of what you're putting out there, because of what your intentions are, that's going to show over time. And anything has an expiration date. So whether if it's your business, and if your motto or your mission is BS and you're BS, you know, you're going to be out of business. And it's, you know, it's an unfortunate reality.
100%.
And then they'll probably go on to the next industry.
Yeah, they're going to go where the money's flowing, and the next is bad, and where the, you know, if it's not cryptocurrency, now it's cannabis. I'm sure there's going to be another one. But very good. So, you know, before we wind down, sure. You know, what can we expect here from Cannabis Kings in the future, you know, aside from, you know, moving out, the idea of moving out to out west and all that?
You know, so as far as, you know, some of our lines, we're looking to go ahead and even like merchandise, you know, different cities, we're looking to go ahead and have different logos, you know, specific for those cities. You know, as I say, Miami, they have like the Miami Vice kind of ones down there. So we do want to go ahead and put some merchandise out that are city specific as well. We know that, you know, even the cannabis clothing industry, there's a huge market in that as well. And it's something that, you know, it's not, you know, really developed out here, but that's what we're trying to go ahead and do, and, you know, starting with Chicago, but then kind of move on to different cities and whatnot. Yeah. But also, really kind of developing, you know, additional products. So, you know, earlier I was talking about, you know, partnering with other businesses, having an affiliated partnership. We have a couple partnerships with some businesses out west. One, Ventura, it's called a Waffle Eye. I'm not too sure if you ever heard of them. Well, they make a waffle maker, right? And the griddle comes out in the shape of it's got like a cannabis leaf, right? So the exterior shells, they have, it looks more, it's kind of simple. It looks kind of like a George Foreman machine. But what we've done, we've taken some local artists out here. We're redeveloping, redesigning the whole exteriors, putting some graffiti art on them, making them custom, functional artwork, essentially. So, you know, if you had something, you know, sitting on your countertop, you know, looking like a George Foreman grill, you're going to go ahead and, you know, wind that up and go ahead and put it back in your drawers or cabinet or whatnot. So we're taking already existing products, putting a little bit of twist on it, Cannabis King's twist, really make it even like city specific, or just like I said, just tagging it up, graffiti, just some real custom, you know, pretty sick artwork, and sometimes even just making a product even better. So we don't go behind anyone's back and just start doing this and start making, you know, our own products or redesign them or anything like that. We'll go ahead and reach out to them, let them know what our ideas are, see if they're on board with it. If they are, awesome. Let's go ahead and work together. Let's go ahead and collaborate. So we're looking to go ahead and just kind of collaborate with more businesses, being able to go ahead and put one another on, and really just developing that network as well. Try to get, you know, our brand out there, and you know, kind of sticking with the theme of thinking outside the box. So sometimes it's not always having a new idea. It's sometimes it's just bettering an existing idea or product.
No doubt about that. I mean, think about the guy who made the rollerblades, right? He just took roller skates, four wheels, and made them inline, and he's a billionaire, you know. So these, it doesn't know, it always take
get a whole new product and kill the game for 8 years.
That's the, I mean, come on, man. That's the way this, it's about innovation. So I'd love to hear that, definitely. So now you're talking about the brand. Now it's plug time. You know, how can our listeners find out more about Cannabis Kings and connect with you?
You know, great question. Everyone can find out more information at www.cannabiskings.com. It's cannabis with a K, Kings with a Z. Also out here in Chicago, 312 Cannabis Crew. You're going to be able to go ahead and find all types of events, cannabis-related events throughout the city and suburbs. And then Crafts for Cannabis as well. We're looking to go ahead and bridge essentially the craft beer and cannabis industries and communities. So we got a lot of great things, you know, ahead of us for 2020. But like I said, www.cannabiskings.com. You'll be able to find out all the information for all of our upcoming events, products, releases, and plans for in the future.
Right, yeah, and if you're listening, you can click right there in the description. There'll be links to all the above as well. So, Brian, really appreciate you. Really appreciate you. Good luck to you. Good luck to Chicago, to Illinois, the whole state of Illinois, on this 2020. And good luck to you, Cannabis Kings, 2020 and beyond.
Maynard, appreciate it. You guys have a great New Year's. Be safe out there. We'll definitely be in contact with you guys.
Sounds good. Thanks, Brian. We at Calican are passionate about cannabis marketing, branding, and web design. If you're a cannabis entrepreneur and you know you need an uptake in business or an upgrade in the way your customers perceive you, come check us out at calican.com and schedule a time to speak with us. Plans start at $248. Thanks for listening in to Dank Discussions, and we are so grateful for each and every one of you. We want to continue making dank content you want, so give us some feedback about the topics you want covered. Feel free to reach out to us at grow@calican.com, that's C-A-L-A-C-A-N-N.com, and follow us on Instagram for our latest updates.